welcome to another broadcast of Off Planet with Tony Green. I'm your host, Tony Green, doing what is, I guess you could consider, a citizen's broadcast, the citizen journalist, the citizen researcher, the citizen radio host, where I've done programs that discuss all sorts of topics that a lot of times the mainstream media won't even touch, won't even consider, or might even consider a conspiracy theory. Topics like chemtrails, like smartphone enslavement, what the contemporary art world is really all about, the planet Saturn, a number of topics. It's important that we, the citizen, begin to discuss these unspeakable topics, shall we say, stuff that you don't see on the mainstream media. You know, be part of the alternative media, even though the alternative media, many of it is controlled. It's the controlled resistance, okay? There is a controlled resistance out there, but the bottom line, in my humble opinion, is to gather as much information as you can, exercise analytical thinking, and come to your own conclusion. And like I always say, please don't believe anything that I tell you or I may bring on this broadcast that you're listening to now. But I challenge you to go and do your own research and prove me wrong. And if you prove me wrong or you prove anybody else wrong after doing research, then we both get closer to the truth. And I'm happy about that. And in these times, the truth is what it's all about. It's a crime to tell the truth today. But things are changing. There's a marvelous renaissance happening. I know you're not going to see that renaissance on the evening news or in your daily newspaper. But we're great. Humans are great. We're fantastic. We're fabulous. And we're made to go to the stars. That's who we are. And I'm a big believer in that, in my own potential and your potential. And the more we come together, the better off we're going to be. And every day we're bombarded with negative information about ourselves, our race, our religion, our nationality, left wing, right wing, gay, straight. It doesn't stop. And there's a reason for that. It's kind of a Soviet system called political correctness, which is doing a lot of damage, a lot of damage. But again, the Renaissance is happening. We're waking up and something's emerging. And what is that? The intelligence is moving from our minds to our hearts. Yes, to our hearts, where the real intelligence is, that which they can't control, where the sixth sense resides, okay? And we're talking about compassion, empathy, and most of all, love. And that's what today's broadcast is going to be about. It's going to be all about love, okay? So stay tuned for more love. Not Hollywood love, but the universe of love. Now, one thing for sure is that I am no expert on love. In fact, you know, probably a disaster. But I had great relationships with some great women in my life, and I do love them all. They've all been wonderful, and we've shared great times together and learn a lot. And if you know, any failed relationship is always something that you can learn something from, right? And as you move on to the next challenge, the next relationship, whatever. Or maybe some of us are lucky and we find the mate and it just goes straight ahead and, you know, no problems at all. But that's not really what I'm talking about when I'm talking about love, because I think that Hollywood and, you know, the media, etc., has taken love and turned it into something that ends up just causing us so much pain and guilt and low self-esteem, etc. And, you know, what comes to mind immediately is something like Valentine's Day. And I can remember as a kid, you know, like Charlie Brown, you know, checking the mailbox and see how many Valentines you got. And let me tell you, man, I always came up empty. Or you didn't get the Valentine from the girl that you wanted, or you tried to give it to her and they, you know, refused it. And, oh, man, it's just more, you know, anxiety, more anxiety. But I'm not really talking about that kind of love, you know. I'll give you an example of something that profoundly had a profound effect on me. A couple of years ago, I was doing a gig, doing my gypsy jazz, playing with my boy Lalo Orlandi, and we were here in Venice, and we were hired to play for a wedding reception on the island of Burano. Now, Venice, Italy is located in the middle of the lagoon, and there are many islands out there, but the ones that most people know about is Murano, which is famous for its glass, and Burano, which is a fishing village and has all these beautifully colored buildings. You know, I mean, you talk about bright oranges and reds and pinks and blues, and for a photographer, for a painter, it is just incredible. It's an incredible place. So this couple had their reception on the island of Burano, and it was a German fellow who is marrying this beautiful woman from Iran. So there we were at the reception. We're playing outside of this trattoria. This is like in mid-June, and it's a bit warm, and the sun goes down. The next thing you know, all these mosquitoes come out, and they're just eating me alive. But somehow the DNA of my guitar player, they didn't touch him at all. So anyway, we fought through the mosquitoes, played the first half of our set, and then it was a break in the action. And the father of the bride, the Iranian bride, got up and was going to sing a song to everybody there. Now, he's just a regular-looking guy, you know. He looks like he maybe could own a grocery store or work in a bank. You know, he's a regular guy. And he got up there and sang this song a cappella in Farsi, which is the language of Iran, which, of course, I don't understand a word. And he sang this song a cappella, and I'm listening to it, and it just really affected me. I was drawn into it immediately, and I felt like these arrows were being shot at my heart. Zoom, 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 zoom. As this guy's singing this song, and I was, wow, and then it was over. So later, I went up to the bride, and I said, listen, that song that your father sang, I didn't understand a word of it, but it just affected me profoundly. It really touched me. You know, what was that song all about? Because I couldn't understand it because it was in Farsi. And she replied that it was a song about love. I said, oh, well, isn't that romantic? It's just very nice for, you know, your wedding that he, you know, it makes sense that he would sing a song about love, romantic love. And she said, no, 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 no. It's not about romantic love. It's about the love of the universe. It was an ancient song about humans' connection to the universe, how we're all stardust, how we're all related, integrated. That kind of love, the profound, deep love that isn't about the five senses, but it's about the sixth sense. The love that defines us as being humans. And I thought, huh, got it. And in the whole program of dehumanizing people, it all started to even make more sense to me. Because that's the essence of what's going on today, is taking away our humanity. Taking away our empathy, compassion, turning us into machines, extensions of machines. living in virtual worlds, disconnection, disharmony, out of touch with nature, out of touch with anything that resembles a god, a divinity. Smartphones, computers, television, Hollywood films, the Borg mentality, with an attachment on the side of your head, the transhumanistic agenda of the elite wanting to bond with machines, with the machines that they've developed, that's way beyond anything that we know about, unless you go see the latest science fiction film, then you will see what the elite really have developed. And their idea is to put their consciousness into these machines with the idea of becoming the super humans. But in reality, they're just going to be super robots. Do you want to be a super robot? I certainly don't. And I do not want to bond with a smartphone. I don't own one. I will never own a smartphone. It's smart because it's insinuating that you are stupid. It is the new brain. That is extracting all your humanity from you, turning you into a virtual person, a zombie, okay? So love is the antithesis of that, real love. So let's explore it. Let's see what other people have to say about it. But that's what I've got to say about it, okay? Ciao.
There's a wonderful singer in this country, a German called Gila, who, it's a lovely song, which goes, "We are the power in everyone. We are the dance of the moon and the sun. We are the hope that will never hide. We are the turning of the tide. If we can turn the tide within ourselves, from freedom or to freedom, from fear, then we turn that tide outwardly in the planet. And all it is, like everything else, is a choice. A choice between fear and love. That's all it is. We can choose to be frightened. We can choose to hate. It's a choice. Or we can choose not to fear. And we can choose to love. Not love on the basis of I love you if I fancy you, darling. But I love you because you exist. I love you whatever. I love you without condition. And if we want to change the world, it has to start with self. Fear, anger, hatred, condemnation, dictating what other people should be, that's the world we've got. That's the prison. But paradise is waiting. It's a thought, an attitude away. That's all it is, a choice away. Love. If we love each other and love the world, our lives are fundamentally changed and the world is fundamentally changed. And we are the generations, strange as it may seem when you survey the world today, we are the generations, I passionately believe, who are going to love the world into the paradise it really should be and was always designed to be. Changing the world is not something in the future anymore. Oh, I hope it'll be better for the kids. It's here and now. We're going to see it happen. Another song, the chorus of which I'll finish with. Love can build a bridge between your heart and mine. Love can build a bridge. Don't you think it's time? More and more people across this planet are screaming yes to that question. And we are the generations who are going to love the world to a paradise.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. The only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another meadow. To grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Oh, listen, Lord, if you want to know. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful. But we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world, millions of despairing men, women, and children, victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate. Only the unloved hate, the unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery, fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power to create machines, the power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, a decent world, that will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power, but they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!
Now that was a pretty rousing little speech given by Charlie Chaplin in his film The Great Dictator, 1940. Just as we were entering World War II, fighting the hated Nazis. And his film, The Great Dictator, mocks the whole Nazi uprising, the goose-stepping Germans, and the rise of Adolf Hitler. But at first glance, that speech says, yes, this is where we need to be. Yes, yes, this is what humanity should strive for. The world of democracy. World with no national barriers. You know? And then all of a sudden, you start to step back and re-examine that concept. And to my eyes, my ears, that is kind of predictive programming for the New World Order agenda, which is upon us today. The centralization of government, centralization of banks, a one-world military, and a cashless, microchipped society, okay? That is what's on the agenda. That's what's in store for us, for those of you that remain uninvolved, with no opinions, don't take action, immobilized on your couch, watching the game show, going to the shopping centers, hoarding, working as a slave, have a vacation, and hope for a good funeral. Well, there's two things in Charlie Chaplin's little speech that I have a problem with. One is the world of democracy. Yay! Isn't that what our leaders are always pushing? Well, we need to have democracy, bring democracy over there to the Iraq. Sounds familiar. But what is democracy? That's mob rule, isn't it? 51% of the people say, let's go out and lynch all black people. It's a done deal. Or as Thomas Jefferson said, democracy is when two wolves and a sheep decide what's for dinner. I mean, the good thing about America, and there's many great things about our country, is that we do not have a democracy. We have a constitutional republic. That's what sets us apart. That's what gives each man liberty. That's what we need to focus on. That is what we have been made ignorant of, including myself, the Bill of Rights. I've been boning up on both, and it's been a great revelation as I see how far we've gotten away from what our forefathers created. That was a renaissance. That was a continuation of the Atlantean mentality of humans realizing potential. And the other thing I had problems with Charlie Chaplin's little speech in The Great Dictator 1940, the film that he directed, produced, it was his baby. World with no frontiers, yay, with no national barriers, yay, sounds so great, yay, where technology rules, yay, utopia, yay, yay, no, boo, boo, sorry, but I'm into sovereignty of each nation. This is just me, but I think the sovereignty of each nation is very important, and we have the European Economic Union. They want to make the North American Union. There's a Trans-Pacific Union. All being centralized. In the European Economic Union, there's 28 ministers that sit in Brussels. And these guys are appointed. These women are appointed. They're not elected by the people. So I got to ask a simple question. What's the difference between the European Economic Union and the Soviet Union, the Politburo? You know, these ceremonial candidates coming out, but it's still somebody else is pulling the strings. So what has this got to do with love? Well, until we can discover our own love, our own power, our own potential, I think it's important to identify that which is keeping us in these prisons of identity. The identity we're born with, that we're born with a name, born with a nationality, born with a religion, born with a race. Told this is possible, that's impossible, these are the good guys, those are the bad guys, blah, blah, blah. And then off to school for 20 years of memorizing and repeating. Okay? Gotta undo all that. Get out of the mind, the five senses, the sixth sense of love. But until we can make that jump, I think, is that we got to expose what is keeping us in prison. And that's why it's very important to look into the new world order, to listen to other people that have done tons of research and exercise that wonderful analytical thinking that we're blessed with and only gets stronger when we use it, just like a muscle. And the love muscle is important too, the more we use it. I know I definitely need to use it. I'm caught up in judgment. You know, there's things that I hate. There's people that I hate. I don't forgive. I let my reptilian brain rule. I react. I punch. I consume. I'm filled with fear. And if I'm going to transcend that, then I've got to expose and identify that which is keeping me in that false paradigm, that false existence. And that's why I did a show about the archons. They're the ones that feed off of all that. They're the antithesis of love and compassion and empathy. Look into it, archons, A-R-C-H-O-N-S, archons. And ancient Gnostics talk about them, pre-Christian. These are psychic parasites that feed off of our fear, feed off of our anxiety. But we can win this by getting into that universal love, the deep love, whether you're Christian or Islamic or Hebrew or Buddhist or... I think we can all meet at the mountaintop. We've got to find out what that mountaintop is and what is keeping us from reaching that pinnacle of consciousness. Thank you.
to achieve the state of enlightenment, as if it were something that you can add to yourself, or something that will suddenly transform you into a miraculous being, which you already are. But you won't know it if you think that is going to come in the future. Enlightenment, or let's so call it the egoless state. Okay, I want to achieve the egoless state. And of course, the egoless state cannot be achieved in the future or in time. It is only by looking through it now that the egoless state is here now. A state that you want to achieve is a mental concept in which that's endowed with self. And as such, you can never reach it, because it's an abstract concept of who I want to be, not realizing you are it already. So the egoless state, it does not lie in the future. It has nothing to do with future. You cannot make it into a goal. You cannot make, whether you call it the egoless state or whether you call it enlightenment, you cannot make it into a goal. Goal implies future. Because the very entry point into the egoless state or the enlightened state is the present moment. If you make it into a goal that you want to achieve, you miss the entry point, because you're looking to the future, because goal implies future. And that is the dilemma of all spiritual seekers. Because they listen to spiritual talk and or read a spiritual book and say, there is such a thing as the egoless state or the enlightened state, and perhaps I can achieve it too. And immediately they make it into a goal, project it away. It becomes mind, a mental image of who I want to be, future. And not realize that their very search for to actualize that image prevents them from being it now, because the entry point is here, this moment only. The ego can only be transcended through accessing the power of the present moment. No other way. Enlightenment is only in the power of the present moment. Nowhere else. So it's only humans who give up the search who realize it's already here. So you have to, one way or another, either because you're totally frustrated with the spiritual search, or because you suddenly see the truth of it, give up the search as if it were future. Now, there seems to conflict with certain teachings that say, basically, there are two conflicting spiritual teachings. One says, that seems what I've just said, but it's not quite it. One says there's nothing you can do, and you might as well totally relax, because you can't bring it about. There's nothing, absolutely nothing you can do about it. So let go, forget about all, some teachers say that. Forget the whole thing, just have fun. The other teaching says, if you do not want enlightenment as intensely as a drowning man wants air, you're not going to get it. Now, what I just said seems to be more towards the other, that is, you cannot make it into something to want or to get. But really, the truth is hiding if you bring the two together. And how does that look? How can you bring those together? On the one hand, there's nothing you can do, that's true. And on the other hand, an intensity is required. You bring the two together. The very intensity that is mistakenly interpreted as an intensity that's driving you towards a future goal can become an intensity that is driving you into the present moment. That's the uncompromising intensity of there's only this moment. And that, yes, that is, there's an intensity there that goes, takes you deeper into this. It's not an intensity that drives you into future. There's nothing you can do is true, in the sense that if doing requires future and time, that doesn't help you. And of course, going into the present moment and becoming internally aligned with the present moment isn't really a doing. In that sense, there's nothing you can do. You can only allow the present moment to be and go deeply into it. It's a question of how you use language. But so in that sense, they are right. Yes, there's nothing you can do. And the others are also right. The intensity is required. The intensity with which you embrace the now.
All right. Hey, everyone. Today I'm going to do a book report on Eckhart Tolle. And I don't know if it's Tolle or Tolle. I really don't care. Eckhart, I don't care how to pronounce his name, actually. He wrote a book called A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. The number one New York Times bestselling author of The Power of Now. Eckhart Tolle. It's Oprah's book club. How about that? Why does it not surprise me that he's associated with Oprah? Okay. All right. So, I said that I would try to read this book and do a book report, and because I saw it on a friend's Facebook page as one of their favorite books. And I thought, well, it's one of their favorite books. You know, I like to read. You know, I'm a reader. I consider myself a reader. So I'll try to read the book and do a book report on it, see what's so special about Oprah's book club, Eckhart Tolle. Okay, if you're not interested in the book report of this book, turn the video off, right? Because it ain't going to get pretty. It's going to get much worse from here. If this guy is not an actual fag, he sure does write like a fag, okay? It was physically painful for me to read this book. I saw Satan and what Satan is doing to the world just over and over and over again in this book. I mean, just over and over and over again. It's like, I know Satan's pushing that. I want you to try to give this book to a bunch of construction workers. Try to give this book to a bunch of plumbers, electricians, drywall hangers, roofers, people who lay asphalt for a living, people who clean out septic tanks for a living. They would laugh at you if you try to give them a book like this. You know, Oprah likes this book because Oprah is a promoter of satanic ideas, okay? But people who work hard for a living, they ain't got time for crap like this. And it was very painful. I got to page 157 where I read a sentence and I said, I can't go any further past this. Man, I'm telling you, this guy is Satan's faggot. That's the title I would give to him. Satan's faggot.
Let me call you sweetheart. I'm in love with you. Let me hear you whisper that you love me too. Keep the love light glowing in your eyes so true. Let me call you sweetheart. I'm in love. I'm in love with you. Let me hear you whisper that you love me too. Keep the love light glowing in your eyes so true. Let me call you sweetheart. I'm in love.
page 4, he talks about one life, one consciousness, one world order. Come to the one consciousness. You're not an individual. You don't have your life. You come to the being as part of the one single consciousness where we all came from. That is satanic. That is about as satanic as you can get. Page 5, it talks about enlightened life forms. The enlightened life forms, you know what those are? Those are not humans, by the way. The enlightened life forms are flowers, crystals, and birds. Okay. Page 6, it refers to Jesus and Buddha again as just messengers. It says that Jesus and Buddha didn't come, and their message did not transform human behavior. They just didn't have what it took to transform human behavior, because we were not ready in our evolution to receive the message. So for anybody to say that Jesus did not transform human behavior is an absolute freaking idiot. Words. Well, in 1984 and Brave New World, they attacked language. The book says, it says that words are bad and thinking is bad. Don't put a lot of emphasis on words, because you can get trapped. And don't do a lot of thinking, because it's just purposeless, meaningless activity. So don't use words. Don't put a lot of thought and don't do a whole lot of thinking. If I was an evil bastard wanting to control the world, I would love to convince the population of humanity that they shouldn't put a lot of emphasis on words and don't do a lot of thinking about anything. And you cannot fight the darkness. Thank you. On page 18, it says a complimentary thing about Pope John Paul II visiting a mosque and a synagogue. In other words, they want everybody to hold hands. Let's just get the Catholics, and let's get the Jews, and let's get the Muslims, and let's get the pedophiles, and let's get the rapists, and let's get the murderers, and let's get the bankers that are stealing all our money. Let's just all hold hands and sing Kumbaya, and let's all be one together. Let's don't fight each other. If you want to rape my wife, you know, hey, I'm just singing Kumbaya with you. I never could fight you. If you want to hurt my children, just go for it. You know, that's what they want you to do. Just become one with the evil. Just become, you can't fight it. Just become one with the evil.
Was some serious badass picking by a dude called Danny Gatton on guitar and Buddy Edmonds on pedal steel guitar, playing redneck jazz, man. Yeah, and I was recorded back in the 80s around DC area. Both of those guys have gone to the other side, the universe of love. They're all out there, and I use that music to underscore what this country gentleman had to say about Eckhart Tolle. Or tool. You know, the truth is all in there somewhere. And I don't take sides with either one, but I like to present different opinions. And again, you exercise your own analytical thinking and come to your own conclusion, because that's what it's all about. I personally am still a work in progress, and the whole love thing seems to be where it's all about. It's the final destination, and the journey is the destination, as they say. And there's a lot to be said for being in the now. Definitely. Definitely. I can get behind that, because I can feel my connection with everything, the people around me and the plants and all that stuff. I mean, I got seriously high when I ran the Venice Marathon about 5 years ago, okay? And I was 55 years old. I'd never ran a marathon in my life. I've run a lot of 10Ks. I even did a half marathon. But this was like a real challenge for me to do that. And I figured if I could do this, I could do anything, like jumping out of an airplane, you know, with a parachute. So I did it. And after running 26 miles or 42 kilometers, and let's not forget the 17 bridges that Venice, Italy offers, because I ran it in Venice, and everything's great, fine. Yes, until you get to Venice, and you got to go over all those bridges. And, man, after you've already clocked, you know, 24 miles, you got another 2 miles going over these steps and down and up and down and up and down. Oh, man. I mean, look, I was ready to check into the emergency room, but everything above the waist, especially above my eyebrows, I mean, I was so high, the endorphins and then beyond endorphins, I really started to feel what a true human being is all about. And that was just, I was just connected to everything. I looked around, leaves falling on the ground, looking at bugs, you know, and looking up in the sky, watching the clouds go by, birds fly, and then looking at my brothers and sisters and everything. It was like all the religion stuff was gone, all the race thing was gone, the nationality, the political stance, the sexuality, you know, it was all like, that's all just programming. And that was one of my few breakthroughs, actually, because the rest of it, I'm just fighting and trying to dig out of this pit. But, hey, again, the journey is the destination, and I'm here right now. But my country brother there, he brought up some good points, too. You have to be careful, because there's a lot of deception out there, as I called the controlled resistance. And my thing right now is to identify who the controllers are, what the evil is, how they're doing it, when they're doing it, why they're doing it. And the more we as citizens of the planet be aware of that and get our feelers back, because our feelers have been burnt off by so many violent Hollywood films and so many violent and disturbing television programs, and to the point that we're constantly under shock, and so we have to shield away from that. And it creates all these different alters in our brains, like honeycombs, so that we can, live with these disasters that we see all the time. And that is the basis for mind control. And I'm not going to go off on that. You can listen to one of my other programs that talk about mind control. And there is a reason that they are called programs, huh? My little program about love. one thing I'm definitely not an expert on, but you know, I got off on a lot of different tangents. But the idea is to evolve, huh? And to me anyway, to try to discover what the truth is. And it's the reason I do these programs, to find out what the truth is. And I keep ending up aiming towards this thing called love. What is this thing called love? I don't know. I'm trying to deprogram myself from what Hollywood has taught me, what television has taught me, what, you know, the modern culture has taught me, and to go back to the ancient love of what I spoke about, hearing that wonderful Iranian man singing in Farsi this song about eternal love, the universal love. I think if we got any chance of making it through this life, and then for the next generations, and generation after that, and after that, and after that, and after that, and after that, that the sooner we make friends with love, whatever that may be, the concept of it, the being of it, the entering into the heart and leaving the mind, that I get more and more, my intuition tells me that that is where the truth lies. So, as I stumble and fumble through life, that's what I'm aiming for, is to find out what is it all about? What is that love thing? You know, Confucius said, every man has two lives. The second one begins when he realizes he only has one. So I'm definitely deep into my second life. And so while I'm here for the limited time that I'm still here on the planet, I want to get to that higher ground. you know, however it may be, and keeping my eyes open, ears open, heart open especially, and tuning in to the divineness that's out there, letting the divine intervention come into me, all right? And then pumping it out to everybody else. That's where the art and music comes in. So that's my goal. What's yours? So if you want to check me out, please go to my website. This is Tony Green bringing you Off Planet with Tony Green. Please check me out at www.tonygreen.net, where you can see all my paintings. That's what my life is about. I'm a painter. I'm also a professional musician. I play this music called Gypsy Jazz. If you go to YouTube and look up Tony Green and Gypsy Jazz, there's a plethora of videos with me playing with some really fine musicians, trying to play some of that heart music, okay? Taking it to the next level as I try to bring myself to the next level. And then there's also, if you punch on the menu, the Off Planet button, there you'll find 20 different podcasts on various subjects, the things you'll never hear about in the mainstream media, okay? So, God bless you. Thanks for listening. Hope to hear you, see you again. Ciao. Ciao, 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 ciao.